This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario. Welcome to 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. Today's conversation is with Felicia Williams. Welcome, Miss Felicia.
Well, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Miss Felicia is now from Meriden, but she claims to be from New Haven, so we're going to test that today.
All right. Born and raised.
So tell me a little bit about where were you born?
Okay, I was actually born, you know, before Yale was called Yale. It was called Grace Hospital. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
I was born in Grace Hospital. So you know I was from here, right? Yeah, I was born in New Haven, lived in New Haven until I was in kindergarten. And then I remember my mom moved to West Haven. And then I did schooling in West Haven until I got to middle school. And then we ended up coming back to New Haven. And I ended up going to Troop School and then Hill House High. Graduated from there and went on to UNH. Yeah. Okay. I'm from New Haven.
Well, let's not skip over this. What was mom's name?
My mom's name was Annie Hudson.
Oh, what kind of woman was she?
She was someone who believed in God, and you know how they say you have green thumbs or green something? Mm-hmm. She can touch a plant and make it come to life. She would go to your house and she would take a plant, she would separate it, come to your house, plant some plants in your house, and you just have a beautiful, beautiful garden right outside your house. She did that in so many people's neighborhoods, so many people's yards, that everybody talk about her flowers. And when you go to her house, oh my goodness, if you were cold, and it was, if we were cold, that was too bad because the temperature had to be radiated by the way her plants needed to grow. I said, oh my gosh, and she would have the plants all around the whole room. Yes. Yeah, I remember that. I said, Mom, it's cold. She goes, well, put a sweater on. Do what you need to do. Yes. So, yeah, she loved to plant all the time, always in the yard.
Now, you was in a single family household or?
My mom and my dad got, they got divorced when I was in kindergarten. It's probably why we moved. So, she raised us.
How was that example of a single mother for you?
My mom was very firm, very strong, very dominant. So she was, you know, she had us. We couldn't do wrong. We had to do right, or else she'd get us. We had to make her proud. Yeah, okay. Yeah, she was one of those.
one of those moms.
Yep.
Now, the mothers, and especially when it comes to difficulties in life, they do a good job of hiding poverty and struggle. Was she also like that, or did she?
No, it wasn't even about poverty, because my mom, she worked at Pratt & Whitney during that time, and, you know, I used to like going shopping. Yes. I remember going to Learners downtown. Yeah, she used to take us shopping. She would take us shopping. She would take us to amusement parks. She wanted us to explore, you know, get out of New Haven or West Haven. She didn't like to stay at the house all the time unless she was gardening. But no, she liked to get us to explore and see other things. She sent us down south every year. She's from Midville, Georgia. And we would go south every single year. As soon as school was over, we were not in Connecticut. She would send us down south or take us down south. And I would come back just before school started. Mm. So I spent most of my summers with my grandmother or my mom's family until she came to get us. Yeah. But that was a different way of living. Because where she come from is, you know, we were picking peas, picking beans. We were... And in my grandmother's house, she didn't have running water. So we had to go and get the water from the pump outside the yard. There would be horses across the yard because it was a dirt road. She lived on the dirt road. They would have pigs. There would be hogs. There would be chicken running around the yard. There was a well outside. All of that. You had to go to the field. She called it the woods. She called it the woods. And then eventually she had an outhouse, thank goodness, because it was different. It was just a different way of living there than it was up here. And I used to cry because I didn't want to go down there, right? I didn't want to go down there, but then when it was time to leave, I would cry because I didn't want to come home. But every time I would switch, when I go down there, they would say, where you from? You from up north? And then eventually when I come back home, they would say, where were you? You know, it's the dialect. I would change every single year. Every year I had to learn how to talk how we talk up here, I suppose. But then when I get down there, I start talking like them. But they could always tell you're not from here. When I come back home, you're not. Where you been?
What was Nana's name?
My grandmother's name was Anna Lou.
Anna Lou.
Anna Lou. And my mom's name was Annie Lee Hudson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Give it up.
She was the baby.
She was the baby.
She
all
was
right.
the baby, yeah.
Do you have siblings or?
I have a sister. I have a sister, Darcy. I have a brother, Jermaine. I have a sister, Maya. And I have Jacqueline and Latanya. But now, you know, when you have sisters, I have my mother had four kids and my father had four kids. So two of us have the same mother and father.
Okay. Yeah. Well, very good. Oh, mm-hmm. All right.
And I'm the oldest.
Oh.
Of all of them. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That experience of going back and forth, though, does provide you with some, like, you know, a good foundation or appreciation of where you're from,
yes,
which is
does.
Missing with these kids, because some kids,
yes,
in this
does.
Day and age, never leave New Haven.
And I found that out as an educator. I said, they don't leave. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Because I said to my mom, you know, she passed recently. I said to her, I thought everybody was doing what you made us do. I thought households were like, the household that we were brought up in. I said, oh, it's different. Everybody's doing something different. Yeah. Mm. So you have to expose kids. And some people, if they can, they will. Some people will sacrifice and they will, but some people just can't, so they don't.
Mm. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Felicia Williams, longtime New Havener. So now you go ahead and you're off to college. You're the first to go?
I'm the first to go. My mother didn't go to college. My father didn't go to college. Wow. So it was a really big deal. Yeah.
How was navigating that? Was it through guidance counselors? Because there's no one there to like show you the way.
Well, guidance counselors, yes. I had really good guidance counselors at Hill House. Oh, she gonna get me. I can't recall her name. I want to say Reese. I had a really good guidance counselor. She made sure that her students would, if we could get a scholarship. I remember her being so excited that all her students were receiving scholarships or awards towards books or something to that effect. She was like, mine, mine. There was an award program. And she would go, mine, 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 mine. Because she helped us make that happen. She helped us make that happen. I saw, and, you know, at that time, I didn't understand what the big deal was. But, you know, when you go to college, you find out a dollar is not that big of a deal. You need hundreds and thousands of dollars to pay for school. So I understood then. I said, oh. And it was good for me because we didn't have a whole lot of money to go to school. And she was able to help me get quite a few scholarships and then apply at the school. And I got, what do they give you when you go to school? They give you financial aid. I was able to get all of that. So I didn't really have to come out of pocket, per se. And, not until my last semester. I had to do one extra class. It was like, oh, I just wanted to be over, so I did it. I was, of course, you know, if you're working, you might as well put that money up and make it do what it's supposed to do. But,
what was your path to becoming an educator? Was it your goal coming out of college? Did you graduate with a degree?
So I graduated with a degree in mathematics. I wasn't sure what I really, really wanted to do. I started in programming. That's when computers became a big deal, and going to school for computers was a big deal. But if you didn't have a computer at your house, that was even a bigger deal. So that became my stress or help that prevented me from getting as far with along like other students. Because they would have a computer at home. We didn't have a computer at home. I would have to spend a lot of time on campus. And I couldn't stay on campus unless I was living on campus all night trying to do the same work that they're doing at home. So eventually I was like, okay, if you're not going to do computers, what are you going to do? I said, well, you're good at math, then go and pursue math and see where it takes you. I didn't know where it was going to take me when I graduated. I was just going to see. I went into retail, to be honest. initially I went into retail and I said, I think I want to teach. But me thinking that I wanted to teach and actually going in and being a substitute teacher when I had a chance to be a substitute, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. When I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be a teacher until we had a new teacher come to our school and the kids didn't treat him nice at all. They weren't nice to him at all. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. So I felt like I went away from where my heart said I should do. And then I said, yeah, I think I want to be a teacher now. I think I had to go and mature and just go for it. And I did. And I love it. I love it. I did retail with JCPenney, mm-hmm. and I became a wife. I became a mom. I have three kids right now, Fallon, Alan, and Faith. They're all grown. I feel like I started when Fallon was young because I started teaching after I had kids. I understood them better, I think. And so with that, I said, you know what? Oh, I know what it was. I had a car accident. I was in a fatal car accident. And when I woke up and realized it could be over for me tomorrow, like this, I didn't have to wake up. And I said, well, I don't want to live my life not doing what I really, really want to do. So when I got better, I decided to take a course at a time to go back towards education. I said, if you don't do what you really want to do, then what's life worth? It's not worth it. What is life for you? It's not worth it. So you may as well go for your passion. I was tutoring everybody. I was helping everybody with their math. My cousins, my grown cousins, everybody that needed help, I was tutoring them. I said, I might as well go for it, right? So I finally did. And I said I went to my teacher. I took one class and my teacher, this is after I got my bachelor's at University of New Haven. The class that I took, the teacher said, we need you to go and pursue, go find a job opening and see what it's like. He said, go to a person, it was a homework assignment. Go to a job where you think you want to work and go and tell them about what you were doing in class. And I was like, huh? Okay. So I went to New Haven Board of Education. I went to the math department. At that time, it was PM Barker Jones. She was in charge of the math department. And I told her what I really wanted to do. And I said, this is my assignment. I said, all my life I wanted to really teach, but I, kind of went away from it. But now I'm here. I'm focused. This is what I want to do. And you know what happened after that? She called me like a week or two later. She said, you really want to be a math teacher? I said, I really want to be a math teacher. I took one course, and that connection that I made, taking that step, that connection I made with her, she said, I'll tell you what, they had a course called Alternate Route to Certification for for Education. I was in the first class. I had to commute, but I didn't care because I'm going to become a teacher. I had to commute, so I was in the first class for Alternate Route for Certification. And I passed that. It took a whole year, but I didn't care because I didn't have to go back to school for 4 years or whatever it was going to take. I graduated. I got my certification. I've been teaching ever since.
Felicia Williams here on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City, The Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, astounded by the fact that, it's lost upon people that it's okay to fail. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to try things because mm-hmm. then you can actually find what it is you want to do. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it's lost on these kids. I mean, everyone's afraid to fail. Right. Ashamed.
That's it. And I'm like, but if you don't fail, if you do fall down and you don't get back up, how are you going to know that you can do it or not? And I feel like when I really was focused and knew what I really wanted to do, people would help. All doors were opening that I didn't even know were going to open. So you don't know until you actually take that step. You just got to go for it. So I tell students, whatever you want to do in life, go for it. I said, don't let anybody, just like stay focused. Don't let anybody turn you away from what you want to do. Because you could waste a lot of time. And time is precious. Time is so precious. we can't get it back if we, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah, so I call myself racing against life. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to be happy just like everyone else.
What is the difference you see in students from when you started to now? The outside of the avenue of the phone.
Right.
Or is there something, or is it, nothing ever changes? Basic needs are that need to be met for them to focus on school.
Basic needs. Well, yeah, of course you have the basic needs. I think I've always had the students, most of the students that I had have always struggled with mathematics. So that part is pretty much the same. But what I'm seeing more of is too many more students are coming to high school without preparation. Like, they're not ready. They don't have a foundation. I'm not sure what's happening in the elementary schools. Why aren't, and I don't even blame the teachers, because it takes everybody to help that child. You got to start at in the home. I think you have to start in the home with just playing addition games, playing multiplication games, playing with, just make it fun, because they're coming in. I'm seeing more of them coming in. They don't know how to multiply. They grab that phone or that device right away. We want everybody to be a thinker, because if that device doesn't work, what's going to happen? You have to be able to problem solve. Right?
I've been to a McDonald's where the machine goes down.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I worked at McDonald's
No one can break a dollar now.
You got to be able to fix it. Yeah.
But you got to be able to make change. They will shut the McDonald's down.
Yes.
Because not one person can make change.
That happened too. But you know what McDonald's did? McDonald's used to have the words on the keyboards. Then McDonald's changed the words to the picture. So now they're not even reading the words. And that's another problem. Because if you don't know what the words say, you can't comprehend what's going on. You don't know what you're reading. And you can't interpret what you're supposed to do. So I'm seeing, for me, because I've had students that struggle, and I've had students who actually love math. But the students that struggle, I'm just seeing no foundation. Mm. No foundation. I just wish, even if parents don't like math, they don't have to say that to the kids, but help them. Before you send them to school, please help them with some math. Basic.
Look. That's going to be a hard one, because my daughter goes to Hopkins School, and don't ask me to even look at her math without having a anxiety attack, because her homework is ridiculous, okay? She's solving X squared and all this, that, and the third.
Quadratic, yes.
Too much for me. So only thing I can do is I'll tell her, can I just sit here and watch you do this? Because
But you have a basic foundation, right? I'm just saying, I just want...
I mean, I can add
just
and multiply.
Just to survive, I think you just need a basic foundation. Okay. And that's what's missing. Telling time.
What, with the two hands?
Telling time with two hands.
Stop
with that
it.
Clock.
Mm-hmm. All right. Phi Delta Kappa, am I close?
National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa Incorporated. Delta
now,
Phi
all
Chapter.
All this led to now this organization,
yes.
National Association of Phi. You want to open it? Go ahead, open your laptop so you can talk about it.
Well, you know how I ended? I didn't even know about them. You know how I found out about them?
How?
I became Teacher of the Year, and they honored me. Like what we were just watching, they honored me. And I said, there's a sorority just for educators? Wow. That's amazing. So guess who I get to work with now? Educators that I had in school. Isn't that amazing? My first gym teacher, the first black person I saw as a... I had two of them. One in West Haven. She was the first black teacher I ever saw. And then when we moved to New Haven, I had a black gym teacher.
We can go down the list. Eleanor Boyd.
Yes. She was my babysitter.
She was your babysitter. She was my principal at Lincoln Bassett.
Yeah.
And then I know that you know Gail Staggers.
Yes.
Who
Gail
was
Staggers.
My African American studies teacher at high school in the community.
Yes.
And there was like two or three others. And
then there's Eleanor Turner. She was my sixth grade gym teacher at Troop School when I moved back to New Haven. And let me see, who else? Then there's, when I was in West Haven, Oh, March, she's going to get me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because my name call, calling that name back. Mm-hmm. But there was a teacher that I had, and I was. She was my teacher where we learned how to sew things.
Mm-hmm. Home economics. Home economics.
Yeah. Virgie Moore was her name.
Okay.
She was my teacher in middle school in West Haven. And when I received this award, the two of them was a part of this organization. As a matter of fact, Eleanor Turner and Eleanor Board, they're charter members of this organization.
Wow.
Yes.
So now, can you just apply to this, or do you have to be tapped? Or
I think you have to be tapped.
Okay.
People need to see. You can apply, you can inquire, but you still need to see. There's a process.
Okay, there's always a process, because this is a sorority after all. Now, is this a Black Educator Sorority?
Black Educator Sorority.
So you got to be certified teacher.
Yes.
And you got to be good at what you do.
Good at what you do and love what you do. Some people don't have a passion for it. You got to have a passion for it. It's not for everybody.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah.
All right, there you go. So, and again, the name is? The
National Sorority of Phi Delta Kappa Incorporated. And we are the Delta Phi chapter right here in New Haven, Connecticut.
All right. Very good. The last words. This is it. We reached the end already. How fast was that?
Nice. That's awesome.
The last words to the community out there in New Haven.
Well, I want to thank New Haven for all that I've learned, because I've definitely had life lessons. But if I could say this, that I happen to be the president of the chapter right now. And you know what's exciting? The most exciting thing for me in this moment is that we have almost 400 people coming to Connecticut, and these are young people, high school students that look like us. They're coming to Connecticut, and they're going to have their own conference. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like, because I've never participated in something like this. And I am going to witness this happening along the East Coast. These students are coming to Connecticut, and we are going to host them on March 20th. I can't wait that weekend. I can't wait to see what that's going to look like. Thank you, New Haven, for taking care of Felicia Williams.
There you go. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Felicia Williams here on the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Canelario, representing 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. And like always, thank you for listening.
All right.